And help me, that would be nice. Thank you, gentlemen. You might have to share around. 2 Samuel 23, please. All right, 2 Samuel 23, and we will stand and read this together, please. For you that actually pay attention to what I preach, at least in general, you'll recognize I have skipped some things, but I'm just doing it because I knew the nature of the crowd tonight. So the time is 6:25. This is my goal. I have only have two goals. Are you all ready? To be done at 7. And number two, to answer Emily Chotla's question. And you know what Emily Chotla's question basically is? David is a man after God's own heart. But I ain't seeing, I'm paraphrasing you, but I ain't seeing it in 2 Samuel. David, was he a good husband? Was he a good father? Did he have people that were loyal to him murdered by their own hand? I mean, you go on and on, and you're like, how can David be a man after God's own heart? That's the question we're going to answer tonight. Is that a fair question? Now, it's going to assume, and boy, I do have the ability to blow you away, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to remove all language, big words. I'm not going to talk about the Deuteronomistic history. We're just going to use language that you can walk home with, that some of you will like, you'll have this, aha, I now understand something. All right? 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be, we would say today, are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. By the way, I'm going to say it later, so you get ready. Do you realize if you have read the book of 2 Samuel to this point, you don't even know that David ever wrote a psalm? And he's at the end of his life. There's your problem. You have been fooled because you have been reading the scripture in a wrong way. That's what we're going to get at tonight. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. By the way, if you've read the book of 2 Samuel, you would never know that either. Hello? And his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now there's, from verse 4 down to verse 7, continues this, but for tonight, I'm going to go there. I have entitled this specifically for Frenchie because you know he's weird and strange. Now for the rest of the story. And what I'm going to try to do is to share some very simple ideas. This is not a sermon under any circumstances. This is a discussion. It should be the question that everybody had. Because when you go through 2 Samuel, after a while, you start, unless you're sleeping, you would wonder, well, God got rid of Saul. Why did he keep David? David did worse things than Saul. All Saul did was disobey God. man, David did some horrific things. So we're going to talk about the rest of the story tonight. And by the way, the rest of the story actually begins with what I would say is the portions of the Bible that we skip, starting in chapter 21. We go to the 2 Samuel, and at 21, everybody gets confused, including commentators, and they don't know what to do with this stuff. And actually, chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24, or 23 is actually the rest of the story in Samuel, and we'll get more of it in another location. Let's pray, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this night. May I be a help. It's all I desire to be. And may I shed a little bit of light on something that's very important for us to understand. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In 1996, when I came to Lake County Baptist in April, your first job is to get to know people. And getting to know people takes time. Now, I look out at you today, and pretty much everybody in this room, I know. I could talk to people about you intelligently, meaning I know things about you, I know your life, I know your family. But when you first get to a church, you don't know people. If the people only come Sunday morning, it takes a lot longer to get to know them. If they come Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, you know, two or three services, you get to know them quicker. Well, when I got here, right where Rhonda's seated, about where Rhonda's seated, usually the seat over, do you remember who used to be seated there, and it wasn't you? Mr. Smith, of course. Mr. Smith used to be there. Now, Mr. Smith, if you would meet him and he walked in here tonight for half of the church that don't know who Mr. Smith is, the first thing you would see is an old man. Yes? Was he tall? 5'6", 7'8", bald-headed. What they used to call him when I was a kid, he had a true chrome dome. There was just this little piece on the edge. He was an old guy. He was nice. Listen, he was quiet, which shows you didn't know him very well. He was not quiet ever. He could tell the best stories of anybody in this church. The only person that comes up to him was Tom Leck Sr., and Tom Leck Sr. can tell some stories. Could he hear? Couldn't hear a lick. He was nice. He smiled a lot. He would either sit alone, or obviously when Pete and Sharon were here, he would sit by them. After a while, I figured out he was Sharon Vasilovich's father. But you figure that out the first day? No. Takes you a while. And I found out, you know, obviously it dawned on me, well, if he's Sharon's dad, that means he's Justin's grandpa. So I kind of came to those conclusions, and all of them were true, with the exception of the quiet part. He was not quiet at all. He was quiet, unless you got in a small group, then he could tell stories all day. Was that Mr. Smith, what I just described? I would tell you right up front, not even close. First of all of you macho guys in this room, don't raise your hand. He was a real macho guy, but you would never know that by looking at that old guy. You see, 1996, when I came here, I'd been here, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, and I don't know if anybody in that party with us. There was 9 guys from this church, went shooting. None of us were here. And yes, I still need to get my card after 8 years. I still haven't got that card. We went shooting in Zion. There were 9 of us, I think Jerry Milburn, and I know 1 or 2 of the others. And this old guy came, Mr. Smith comes. I don't think anything about it. We go into the place, we have our you know, weapons, and we're going to do some target shooting, and then Mr. Smith brought up, he says, why don't we do some, I don't know what he called it, but there were like 7 targets, and you shot each target twice, quick shooting, boom, 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 and then you had to reload and all of that at the same time. Folks, I didn't know anybody. Can I shoot? Yeah. I can hit the broadside of a barn. If I shoot, I'll at least go that direction. How's that sound? I can shoot a little bit, but I'm not exactly anything special. All I can tell you is, when I left there that night, I thought to myself, nobody in this church knows that old man. That old man made eight young guys look like fools. You didn't hear what I just said. He made us look like fools. He not only shot better than us, it was like playing Michael Jordan in his prime. It was like, who is this guy? Folks, here's a guy in his mid to late 70s. And when he's shooting those targets, he's putting them in a circle that big. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, who is this guy? Everybody else is missing the whole target. We were hoping in the big target when we quick shot, one bullet got someplace. Oh, did I realize I didn't know the rest of the story. Are you all interested in this? Well, let me ask you a question, Phil. You'd never met Mr. Smith, did you? Mr. Smith, which sat right by where Rhonda's at, he not only, well, I learned a lot more later because we'd go out to eat. He liked to eat and he liked to tell stories. I found out he was also a gunsmith. He was actually a world-class gunsmith. Nobody in his church knew it. Oh, I know, you knew everything about him. You didn't know. You didn't know until you came to the funeral and talked to that one officer. He made guns that were called Smitty guns. We have a guy in this church that has one. Who is it? Dada has one. I'm still angry. Why did Dada get one and not me? Oh, Mr. Smith also flew a P-38 Lightning in World War II. He also fought fighter jets in Korea. He also trained people to fly fighter jets in Korea. He flew the first jets, fighters. Oh, Mr. Smith also was one of the two guys from the Air Force, two Army, two Marines, two Navy, that developed the M-16. I could spend all night talking about Mr. Smith, but when you walked into this church, you saw the old guy, quiet, seated in the chair, and smiling. You didn't know the rest of the story. Are you all with me? So, that's where our story goes tonight, in your notes. Chapter 21 to chapter 24 is a collection of stories and events that give us hints or suggestions of the rest of the story. So when you read chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24, the most important thing is not to analyze it, but to do this. Look up here, folks. This story steps back because everything has been going along chronologically and steps back and gives you a hint. Hey, hey, David is more than what I'm telling you. He's a lot more than what I'm telling you. And if you don't understand that, you'll never understand why he was a man after God's own heart. You'll always be confused because it's like, man after God's own heart sends Uriah up to the battle and tells Joab, pull back, so Uriah gets killed, and he delivers it by Uriah's... There's the rest of the story. I'm going to give this to you really quickly for your own benefit. You can do the reading on your own. I didn't give you the chapter divisions. You can also figure that out on your own. These are actually these six events. You have the crisis, first of all, caused by Saul. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Then you have heroes of Israel. I have a whole sermon in the front of my Bible about the first passage on that. Then you have two parts about David as a man after God's own heart. You have chapter 22, which is a psalm. But folks, if you have read the entire book of 1 and 2 Samuel and you stop at chapter 21, you don't even know David has written Psalms. You just think David kills people. He goes out to battle. He has a lot of problems in his family. You have part of the story, but not the rest of the story. Part two is what we're going to read tonight. David is a man after God's own heart, part two. Then you have heroes of Israel again. And then the book ends with the crisis caused by whom? David. And all these are the author is saying, I'm not going to tell you everything about David, but I want you to understand there's a whole bunch of other things that David did too that I'm not going to talk about. He gives you hints of the greatness of David. So when we read in 1 Samuel 13, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And in Acts 13:22, we find the scripture even saying, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. You're not going to find that much in 1 and 2 Samuel. All right, is everybody with me so far? Now I'm going to say three things about history. I love history, but remember, when you read the Bible, some of it is history, and you actually have to read it as it's history. It's not religion. It's not your favorite verse that gives you warm fuzzies on Sunday morning. It's history. I mean, God reveals himself throughout history. Why? By the way, why? Because you live in history. Folks, you live real lives. We don't live fairy tale worlds. Have you ever noticed when you watch a movie or read a book, no one ever has to eat, take a shower? It's a fantasy. But in the real world, people have to do those sorts of things. You get, by the way, you ever been sick? You ever notice they never get, it's in the Bible, it's history. So let me give you three simple ideas. This will also help you a lot in the Gospel of Matthew, so you can use it both places. All history, meaning all recorded history of any kind, biblical or otherwise, is selective. You cannot write down everything that happened. That would be impossible. The Gospel of John specifically tells us this. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is what you know. At the end of those four books, you know a lot about Jesus, but you do not know everything. Actually, I would say this, you do not know most things. There's just no way you could put it. Look at the last verse, 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. All history is what? Is what? Of course, that's the nature of history. You couldn't write everything that happened. I say in your notes, selective doesn't mean wrong, but a representative selection or sample of what happened. Either word, it's a representative sample of what happened. So if I'm going to tell you about Mr. Smith, I could tell you many big things about Mr. Smith that, look at me, friend, when you walked away, you would say, I saw some people smiling because some people knew more about him than others. That's fine. Let me ask you, did you know he used to be one of the main guys in America that went to the Nike bases? But in this room, there's probably maybe one person that knows what the Nike bases even were. Maybe two. They were developed under Eisenhower. There was like eight or so around Chicago. There was four around St. Louis. They had ballistic missiles to knock down missiles from Russia. They were gone by the 60s. We had one right where I grew up. We had both Army and Air Force there. He inspected those. I could give you the big picture of Mr. Smith. Would it tell you everything about Mr. Smith? No. But it'd give you a representative sample. Next, number two. All history is slanted. If you prefer a different word, it has perspective. When a person decides he or she's going to write history, including the biblical authors, since you're not going to write everything that happened, you have to decide you're going to choose some things, but before you decide what you're going to choose, you're going to decide, I'm also going to choose what the purpose that I'm writing for is. We also have this in the scripture, so we don't even have to wonder about this. John 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written for what purpose? Can you read it with me, friend? These are written for what purpose? That you might what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So he tells you, I'm writing, But I'm not telling you, by the way, what's missing in the Gospels? The very things that you would talk about. How tall was Jesus? What color was his hair? You know all the things we're interested in the Bible never mentions? Why? Because they have a slant. The slant is not to entertain you with what Jesus looked like. The slant is to tell you who Jesus was, what Jesus did, so you could come to personal faith and have eternal life. That's the perspective. That's the slant. All the things that we would write about aren't there at all. What color was his hair? Did he part it in the middle or on the side? You've never even asked yourself this question. Why it doesn't describe Jesus? Under the 1 John has a very different purpose. 1 John says, these things have I written unto you that mainly, I'm going to paraphrase this, that already believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? It's not trying to get you to come to Christ, it's trying to get you to have assurance of salvation. So 1 John has a different purpose. All history is slanted. It's selective, can't tell everything. It has a perspective or a slant. It wants to tell these events for this purpose. The author isn't writing an exhaustive, dispassionate account. The author has some very specific ideas and or angles he wants us to know. That is always the case in all history writing, but the Bible specifically says that. Number three. All history is, and these are the same two words, just different words, different forms. All history is summary or summarized. All history is summary or summarized. I want to ask you a question. This is not a trick question, so you may answer out loud. What is the longest sermon in the New Testament that we have? Sermon on the Mount. Do you think the Sermon on the Mount was what Jesus preached? Here's what's funny. You should do it sometime. Actually, instead of just sit there and listen, you ought to read the Sermon on the Mount out loud. You can read it in 10, 15 minutes. Paul preached till midnight. I'm guessing Jesus did too. So when you see the Sermon on the Mount, what do you really have? A summary. May I say what you have is the bullet points or the catchphrases. Friend, if I can preach an hour, I'm pretty sure Jesus could. I think he could probably preach more than an hour. Everything is summary or summarized. We see this right here in the text. Luke 3:18 says, and many other things, speaking of John the Baptist, in his exhortation preached he unto the people. They're telling you, I'm just giving you a summary. Acts 2:40, talking about Peter's sermon, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. Acts 15:32, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words, but we don't have them. Acts 20, verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, but you just see little pieces of it. It's summarized. Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. That's a lot of speaking, folks. So I say in your notes, when we finish 2 Samuel 20, if we were to skip to 1 Kings 1, which goes chronologically, we get the truth, but only from one perspective. It's true, but it's not the whole truth. Now I'm going to go. Now it gets tough. By the way, everything in the next 3 minutes is the hardest part I'm going to speak all night, so if you're not into it, go back to sleep. Are you ready? 1 and 2 Samuel. Can you say 1 and 2 Samuel? 1 and 2 Kings. Those are repeated in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Samuel is 1 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Kings is 2 Chronicles. We're all aware of that, yes? With what difference? The difference is this. 1 and 2 Chronicles is written later. After Cyrus the Great tells the Jewish people they can go back to Jerusalem, Kings stops abruptly. So the purpose of Kings and Samuel, boy, my throat is different than Chronicles. Because one, look here, folks, one is telling you a story that really starts in Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. It's telling you a story about the kingdom. So let me just give this to you. You write down what you want. Don't write down anything. I don't really care. 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings is telling you a story. The story is this simple. Where did the kingdom come from and what happened to the kingdom? So you start over here, 1 Samuel, and you have a guy named Samuel. He's the last of the judges. He's a prophet, and he precedes the first king, which is? How did Saul do? He was rejected, correct? Then you come to David. The purpose of 1 and 2 Samuel is to tell the story of the rise of David. David rises to the kingdom. There's some good things. David would not take the kingdom by murdering Saul or even murdering his family. So there's good things. But the purpose of 1 and 2 Samuel primarily is to get you to understand here's where we get to a Davidic kingdom. When you get to 1 and 2 Kings, it's to do this. Look up here. It's to tell you what in the world went wrong. And what went wrong? The moment Solomon dies, the kingdom is what? Split in two. 200 years later, the northern kingdom is gone and never has returned. A couple hundred years later, the southern kingdom is and has never had a king of Judah reigning over Israel since that day, 586 BC. By the way, friend, that's about 2,600 years ago. It's telling the story of what went wrong. Stop! 1 and 2 Chronicles is written later. Look at me. That story's already been told. So guess what it does? It tells the rest of the story. It tells all kinds of good things. You know the story of David and Bathsheba? When you go home tonight, try to find it in Chronicles. Why isn't it there? The story's already been told. We already know what went wrong. Do you realize in 1 Chronicles most of the bad things are gone? It's not because they're lying. That's already been told. Chronicles has a different purpose. Now, I can't go any further than that tonight. Maybe somewhere down the road, if I get brave or stupid, I will talk more about this in your notes. I say, then we come to 2 Samuel 21 to 24, which I believe steps back and says, let's take a look and give you some brief hints. But you find it big time in 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah. So let's look back at 2 Samuel 23. I told you this isn't a sermon. I think I said that, didn't I? This is just, honestly, it has one purpose, to answer your question. But let me say this, Emily, your question is my question. Because I used to read 1 and 2 Samuel wondering, but there ain't much good about David. But then you read some of the other stuff and you realize, well, there's a whole side of the story that's not told in 1 and 2 Samuel. It's not his purpose. The purpose of the author is different. It's just to say, here's where the kingdom came from. Here was the great king. Here's what went wrong in David's life, Solomon's life. Here's where the kingdom split. Here's where the north was carried away. Here's where the south was destroyed. That's its purpose. The Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah, have different purposes. All right, in your notes. And we will do this very quickly, if I can. We begin with, and I'm just going to bullet point this. I'm not going to teach any of this. In your notes, 2 Samuel, if you look back at chapter 23, verse 1, now these be the last words of David, David the son of Jesse. I'm just going to bullet point this and comment only on a couple of them. We find, first of all, David the son of Jesse. But we already knew that. That's part of the story. Secondly, we find David, the one God raised up. He's not only the son of Jesse, he's the man who was raised up on high. God raised David up. Thirdly, he is the anointed of the God of Jacob. And anointed means the one who is chosen and empowered by God. So we already kind of knew all of that. The big surprise comes with this. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, I want everyone to look at me. Please, please. There's Mr. Smith. Don't make this hard. This is not, by the way, this is actually easy. There's Mr. Smith. You see him come to church every week. He's a quiet, older gentleman who smiles. He loved to be at church. He loved people. He didn't talk a lot here. You know why he didn't talk a lot here? He couldn't hear. And when you get into a crowd, when you had his hearing from all those jets, he could hear nothing in a crowd. But you got him one-on-one, he could hear you. Mr. Smith loved church. I'd watch him. He always had a huge smile because he loved to see God's people. He got saved at Bethany Baptist Church in the city of Chicago in 1947 or 48. He and I went to the church a couple times. That's just one piece of the story. There's another whole side of the story. You are now introduced to David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, which if you're reading 1 Samuel, you'll never learn about. There's a whole other world about David. Where's it at? Well, let's look here, would you? I have some statements. If we stopped at 2 Samuel 21, we have no psalms. Did you hear that? How many psalms did David write? I'm not sure, but it was it one? Let's ask this. Was it 200? Well, not that we have in the Bible. Was it one? Was it 50? Well, it was probably at least 50. I'd say more. Do you realize we don't even know David's a psalmist? By the way, he's a man after. Where do you think that's about? Writing those psalms. When he's alone with God. We don't have that part of the story. Let's continue. This is the part that blows me away. We have no musical instruments that David created. It says in the Chronicles in Ezra and Nehemiah that David actually created musical instruments that hundreds of years later they were still playing, and we never even heard about it in Samuel. That's the rest of the story. Next, we have no organized temple worship, or no organization, of the temple worship. We don't even find out. I think, friend, I could be wrong. Please forgive me. I had it, but I forgot to write it down. I think the term Levite is only mentioned in 1 and 2 Samuel once or twice. You get into Chronicles and you get into Ezra and Nehemiah and you're like, something's missing in Samuel. Well, of course, the author of Chronicles wants to do this. That's Chronicles' purpose, to tell you the rest of the story. There's a whole lot of things that David did that are very good. He organized the worship of the temple. Even though there wasn't a temple, he prepared it. How about this? If I would tell you the number one thing you notice in 1 Chronicles about David is what? He keeps saying, I have prepared with all my might for the temple. Never mentioned in Samuel. So there's no preparation of the temple in 1 Samuel. I'm going to come back to that statement. Let's read these verses. Ezra 3. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple. Now remember, this is the second temple. When they have returned, when they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord. After the what? You will never find that in Samuel. It's not told. Is Samuel lying? No. Samuel has a purpose. Chronicles has a different purpose. 1 Chronicles 6:31, and these are they whom David set over the service of the song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. You see, when David brought that ark back to Jerusalem, he began to prepare things for Solomon, and he spent a lifetime doing it, so when Solomon came, he could build one of the greatest structures in the ancient world. That was the point. Nehemiah 12. And the chief of the Levites, oh, I love these names, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the sons of Kadmiel, with their brother over against them to praise and to give thanks, according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward against ward. 36. And his brother, oh, Shemaiah, and Azrael, and we're skipping the names, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. Folks, look at me. David died 970s. We are now 400 years plus later. They're using the instruments that David created for the temple worship. And if you read Samuel, how much would you know about it? Nothing. Are you all picking up on something? You better be careful how you read the scripture. You'll get a false impression. You'll actually get the false impression even from the scripture. 2 Samuel 45, 1245, or Nehemiah, excuse me, 1245, and both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David. 1246, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Friends, I didn't put it in here. Can I ask some of you that have character, would you do me a favor? In my way of thinking, one of the greatest chapters in all of the scripture is 1 Chronicles 29. And you know what it's about? David is coming to the end of his life and he is prepared, he says, with all my might for the temple. Read the chapter, read the verses for your own benefit. This is the rest of the story. Now let's go back up above those verses. This is Pastor Warrenism. I would call this not only the rest of the story, but maybe the best of the story. I think the best of the story is not found in 1 and 2 Samuel. I think the best of the story is found in Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah. But I think Samuel has a different purpose. And his purpose is what? Here's where the kingdom came from. Here's how David became king, and there was a lot of good there. Here's what David did wrong. Here's what Solomon did wrong. Here's how the kingdom split in two. Here's how the north went into captivity to Assyria. And here's how the south was destroyed. Chronicles has a different purpose. That's already been told. Everybody knows it. Chronicles takes the same information and says, let me tell you the rest of the story. And if I can paraphrase, I think the best of the story. Some things that, look at me. If you didn't know that old man, Mr. Smith, could shoot both of your eyes out before you could blink, you might think you could be a bad dude around him. And I'm not joking. He was a peaceful fellow, set right there. I don't think he ever made a wave one day in the entire time he came before he died. And people came in here thinking, you get macho guys. That was the macho fella right there. And I'd like to tell you, but I don't have time. I'd like to tell you about his stories of flying a P-38 Lightning. When they got in line, and the guy, the higher-ranking officer, asked, how many of you guys have flown P-38 Lightnings? The answer was, none of them. Then he started saying, well, if you have, how much time do you have? And he cut off a certain amount of time, and a bunch of them just stepped forward and said, we have done it. All he had ever done is read the book. They flew the planes they were flying down the Aleutian chain, down Alaska, to the main continent of America, got in a P-38 Lightning, of which they had never flown, and flew it back up Alaska, down the Aleutian chain. You know, there's a word for that. Insanity. Oh, can I tell you something else? That little guy right there was a cocky guy. But you didn't know that. By the way, you don't become a fighter pilot and be a chill bump. He would even tell you, the guys that flew the bombers were the weenies. He says, we were the guys. Well, you have to be a little crazy. Get out there shooting at somebody in the middle of the air. Like there's no place to go. Well, let's move on. We have two other truths. We have David, the spokesman for God. 2 Samuel 23:2 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me." But you don't find that in 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel. You don't know that he actually wrote things and was like a prophet. You find this in in Matthew 22, it says, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" Or in Mark chapter 12, it says, "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost." Or in Acts 4:25, it says, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why do the heathen rage?" Where is that found? Psalm chapter 2. Friend, we don't even know this from Samuel that God spoke through him. He was a spokesman for God. I'm going to just conclude with the last part. And by the way, the greatest psalm he wrote, of course, was Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is the one that gets into Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek and being called Lord. But we'll finish with this. David, the just ruler. The text says, "The God of Israel, the rock of Israel, spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Now everyone look at me and I'm done. Let's go back to a simple concept. There's Mr. Smith. If you came to this church for the first, was he here? Does anybody know when he died? Anybody? Has he been gone 10 years? More or less? That man came here. He never made a wave. He was the number one contributor to one part of the offering. Which was? I found out it accidentally. He always wanted to help people. That guy always wanted to give money to help people. And he'd give his tithes or whatever, but he wanted to give money to help people. So if we have a benevolence fund, which we do, that's where he's wanted his money. You didn't know that because he was an old grandpa sitting over here. You slept, he slept. He didn't sleep, he just didn't hear you. He couldn't hear a thing. I think he just smiled. You know what he actually liked to do? He liked to sing. There's two guys that by the way, some of you I don't ever want to hear singing. But I always like to watch him sing and Mr. Losey. And I know Mr. Losey couldn't sing a lick. But I'd watch those guys and they just love singing. Can I tell you something? That old man, there was a whole side of the story that most people didn't know. Look at me. David, a man after God's own heart? Yes, if you know the rest of the story. Yes, if you know the best of the story, you know there's more to David than what's found in 2 Samuel. Father, thank you for this night. Bless our time in Christ's name.